Welcome to another Not the 92 podcast. Myself, Armin Noah, and Tom Mitchell back again with what a game has been. We feel the most enthralling week of non-league football since we last brought you a podcast. It was Monday, I think it was, we recorded it, and it came out the very next day. But we've been taking on a roller coaster, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll cover it all in a minute, varying from the fall and rise of Sutton United's promotion hopes, the playoff race, the absolute insanity that was the FA, the fallout from the particularly Notts County Sutton game, because I never recorded the last bit of that particular Not the 92 Extra. It was an incredible match. I forgot to record it, Pubes. So I'm so sorry about that one. What a fantastic week. Quickly, let's get Tom involved and get him to... in his quick reaction on the madness that has been this week, Tom. I cannot, like you, fathom what more we can expect from this league because it constantly delivers drama we don't expect.
Oh, man, Ahmed, it is just... it's gone up a level, hasn't it, the drama? And, you've gone from a four-horse race to possibly now a two-horse race in the space of a week. You've had, a team... thinking they've lost the title possibly to now in the driving seat. You've had the playoff picture changing. Oh, it's been manic. Like there was a team I said I thought they were guaranteed of getting a top five spot, and now suddenly they're on the brink of exiting the top seven. So it's been that sort of week, and I feel like this isn't the end as well, despite the season closely coming to an end. I still feel like there's so much drama to go. I feel like, it's going to go right down to the wire. I mean, I feel like it could easily go to the last seconds. The race for the first spot and the race, the playoffs, it's hotting up. But, quality teams really hitting their peak, and then some, losing their form at the most crucial time as well. The drama's been unbelievable. So looking forward to covering that all on the pod this evening.
Tom, as a commentator on Saturday, was literally biting fingernails. Trust me, yeah. When we were there at Gander Green Lane on Saturday, we could not stop getting anxious for Sutton United's push. And trust us, we are not biased here. We try not to be. But when we covered that game, it was incredible. And trust us when we say this, it is right down to the wire. We'll cover that and a lot more in our podcast that's coming up, so please stick around for it. Now, before we do, I don't like to change the tone so soon, but it has come to our attention that while we have been off in a week, a lot of things have happened in the league, and a couple of positive announcements we need to discuss will come up shortly. But we do have to pay respects to former Chorley Orchingham and Halifax Town striker James Dean, whose body was found by Lancashire Police earlier this week. Unfortunately, we are not aware of what the reasons are for his passing and for why it's led to him having led to this particular situation. We're very sad here on the Not 92 that this has occurred, and to all those who were connected with him, family, friends and former teammates of the clubs he played for, we pass on our strongest sympathies and condolences to those who knew him. He was a very accomplished striker at National League level and had such a presence in games, and where for him, like with Lee Collins last month, for him to lose his life at such a young age, at 32, it's very, very sad. So, biggest condolences and heartfelt sympathies out to all who knew him and those who he played for this very tragic loss. We definitely don't like seeing stories such as these or the ones related to Lee Collins being similar. Similar to what happened to James this week, as stuff related to people having nowhere to turn. So hopefully, I'll try my best to make it sound as authentic as possible. We hope that there's always a chance for you to turn to someone who you know you can trust and confide in about how you feel, and hopefully you can always come out on the brighter side of life with plenty more to look forward to. We only have one, so we make the most of it while we can. Now, on to the positive stuff. The positive stuff being, we are now, today, as we record this, it's the 12th of May. In 10 days from now, some clubs will be able to host matches with let's stress this, home fans. Unfortunately, there will be no away fans at these games, but National League Football will have home fans for this period and for the playoff race that will take place following the end of this season, with an unconfirmed location to where the promotion final will take place on June the 19th. There is some scope to be placed, put into two different places, but we will confirm that further very shortly when we discuss that topic in a much more wider detail. But as always, we've covered that and a lot more, and so much else, like such as the chairman leaving his National League club, which is going to stun a few of us. We've also got to cover the look ahead to the next week's games. You know, we can't stress enough, this is a massive podcast, so you're going to need to stick with us. Before I do, once more, before we get really into the thick of things, give us a chance to send our plugs a little bit. We need to plug a few things, such as our Instagram and our Twitter, which is NT90Pod on Twitter, and then Instagram is the underscore between NT90 and Pod. And if you want to know more about our podcast, have queries or questions that you want to ask us, which we could dedicate to a particular segment of the show, we will be able to do. You'll be able to do that at podcast@notthe92.com. Okay. Breathe. Let's start the show. This week, we've focused it on solely the fact that fans are coming back into the grounds from May 17th. That's next week. May 22nd for us is our first game we'll be able to be involved in with fans. But from the 17th of May next week, there are 5 National League clubs that will be allowed to accommodate fans at games on the Tuesday, the 18th of May. These clubs, I'm sure, have been, like many, very exciting. And with the guidelines released to host fans in the next few weeks now being provided to the clubs, it's clear to see there's a lot of excitement and a lot of hope in the ranks as they look to push their teams over the line in the playoff race and in the promotion race, or even if they're just there to support their team in these final few weeks. So a statement from the National League, which was released earlier this week, would have been Monday, as I believe, says the following. The National League can confirm plans are ongoing for the anticipated return of spectators at Valderrama National League matches from the 17th of May, subject to the government easing lockdown restrictions in England. All clubs will be issuing details on their media channels for the remaining games of the 2021 season in due course. Now, Wrexham, being a Welsh club, are under different jurisdictions to the clubs in England. So they're currently having conversations with the National League as to how to go about this. The restrictions being eased on May 17th are applied to England only, whereas the clubs in Wales, in not just the National League, but also the EFL, who are such as Swansea, who are in the playoffs at the moment, are currently discussing with the government in Wales as to how to go about their plans to have fans at the ground again. And we hope that they do get round to doing that very, very soon. Clubs have been requested to submit an operational plan for the National League to approve. Permission must, however, be sought from their local authorities. It's not a matter for the club and the league to agree on. The stadium capacities have been calculated using methodology provided by the Sports Safety Authority, Ground Safety Authority, SGSA, to ensure social distancing is in place. Through consultation with members, the National League has determined only home fans will be able to attend matches from May 17th and each playoff as eliminator and semi-final. As a neutral fixture, supporters of both clubs in the National League promotional final will be able to attend in limited numbers. Details of a date and venue are currently being finalised, and National League is excited and looking forward to having fans back at games on the 17th of May. This marks a great progress within the unrestricted return of spectators. Well, as I've said, 5 clubs next Tuesday night will be able to accommodate fans for the first time in over a year. Some of who have accommodated fans this season, but there are others who've been for a long time behind closed doors, will have the chance to allow them to watch their team play once again. So next Tuesday, Solihull Moors, Barnet, Wrexham at home to Notts County, still under question because of the discussions going with the National League and Wrexham and the Welsh government as well. Yeovil, Maidenhead, Aldershot, Eastleigh and Weymouth Bournemouth are all matches that have, four of them, will have fans guaranteed. Wrexham, Notts County, subject to obviously approval from the Welsh Government and the National League. So to you, Tom. I've had a long intro, so here's your time to shine. It's a big moment. We've waited a long time for this. How excited are you, like I am, that we're going to be able to see crowds at National League games again after what feels like an eternity?
Oh, Ahmed, I can't wait. Especially with so many big games kind of coming up as well. You know, these sides are going to need the support of their home fans as much as possible. And even, obviously, you know, sides who don't have anything to play for, just having their fans back, that will give them that extra lift. And in fairness, if you're one of the sides who don't have anything to play for, but you're playing with a side that has something to play for, it should make the atmosphere quite interesting, obviously, how you know, the opposition would cope, you know, with the home fans. But it's, you know, something that I've missed so much. Yes, there's, you know, there's a period this season where some home fans were allowed in, but this feels like it's going to be the start of something now that fans will be consistently back, and hopefully, touch wood, we won't have to go through this ever again. But yeah, I can't wait to see full stadiums, and I've missed the chants. I've missed the people, booing the referees and opposition players trying to help their team, and it's little things like that. I'm sure fans are listening that they've just missed seeing their friends at football grounds and, you know, leaning on the rails, and it's just little stuff like that. Going to your favourite, getting your favourite tea, or, you know, it's a hot dog stands at the ground. It's a little thing. Honestly, it's not just the football. It's just little things like that that you miss as well. It's the whole match day experience walking up to the ground. So it's going to be a great feeling to have fans back. And it'd be interesting as well, starting on midweek games as well. You know, there's nothing more than the fans love than a midweek game. And, you know, you mentioned obviously the games like, you know, Wrexham, Notts County, that's going to be an absolute massive one. So, again, as I mentioned, I'm interested to see, the atmosphere in that one, obviously pending on the Welsh Government. Something that I can't wait to see. It feels like counting the days till Christmas now, till fans come back. It's just going to add... So, it's just going to give the games so much more life. They've had a lot of life and there's been highly competitive games, but it brings something so much more to the games having supporters there. So I can't wait. It's a little bit of a shame we can't have away fans there, but it's not a surprise to me, obviously, with fans being allowed back in. It's going to be eased. They're going to be eased back in. So obviously a sensible thing is to put, home fans in first. And hopefully, I think, it'll be next season when we'll see away fans back. So I feel like it's complete that, getting fans back in, but this is certainly a big step.
Huge indeed. And I unfortunately didn't get to do many games with fans this year, with the majority of them being behind closed doors. So whenever I've watched games on TV, back on YouTube or on whatever site possible, even on BT, matches that have had fans in them have seen great occasions. I think there's been a few, like Weymouth, Torquay have been a spectacle it is. Both of their matches this season, when they've had fans in the attendance as a home and an away side, have ended in stupid scorelines. They had, I think, the game against the Oval back in December, which ended 6-1 in front of 3,000 before the restrictions came back to clamp them down again. But even then, that was an incredible evening. I think Weymouth had a game against Stockport, which ended 4-3 in front of fans. That game was incredible too. So there's been a few brilliant games earlier this season that were played in front of a crowd before the serious national lockdown came back in again. Well, I mean, with the winter coming up for next season, we don't know how bad it's going to be then, but we'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, however, it was going to be great to see people in terraces, in stands, in the grounds, around the grounds again. Excited to be able to see their team play football. It won't be exactly the same as we remember it before March 2020, but slowly but surely, the experience that we know and have enjoyed will come back to us as we accelerate through this vaccination process and also be able to get through this hopefully incredible summer football. And again, I not just urge the National League clubs, but I urge also those clubs as well from next Monday that can host fans. They hopefully will start booking these friendlies. We told you about this earlier this year. We think here on this podcast, clubs who've needed money, who've needed the opportunity to have their, you know, make sure they rebuild their finances after a difficult 15 or so months, the best chance they have is to host friendlies. Bars will be open. Indoor venues will be open again. So clubs that have big halls or places that, you know, fans can convene to have a drink or two before a game, this is their chance to, you know, meet up again and hopefully take up the opportunity to be able to have fun and support their club the only way they know how. And during that little period earlier this season when fans were able, like 600 fans below step one and two were going to matches, there was a feeling of satisfaction and, you know, excitement in the air because they've seen their team play for a little while. And it didn't last very long, but it was still very good to see. And while, you know, it'll be very hard to go to National League games even now because with the EFL season over, the only matches that are on are playoff games. So outside of that, you've got just the National League's final for some five, even more for others. So there's plenty to watch, I think. And I urge you not just to go to, if you are a National League fan, to your respective game in the Premier Division, but for your club below the National League, it's North and South. I'm hoping they'll start hosting games or little friendlies as well that will give fans a chance to draw money in. It's a big opportunity for them all to be able to start feeling like a normal season is around the corner, even with the elongated preseason, of course. Another bit of news this week, a quick one is regarding promotion and big promotions I'm sure will be taking place as the FA obviously are still going through the process of announcing the makeup of next season's steps three to step six national leagues. Reason being is because while this pandemic has been very, very tumultuous, the leagues below step two in the National League North and South have been curtailed twice. They were curtailed after the 1920 season, of course. They did restart this season, but only played so many games. So the FA have obviously been doing some of the mathematics and trying to bring together the two corresponding results, the points per game results, plus the amount of games that have been played of the current season that's been curtailed together to be able to conclude whether this certain teams deserve an opportunity to be promoted. Now, some of them haven't performed well this season will be regretting it because that will be a missed opportunity. And we did also profile this last week. A good amount of like 300 or so clubs are currently involved in the matter. Only so few of them can go up to the next level of the English football pyramid, but lots is still to be guaranteed, that's for sure. So keep an eye on the socials or your respective clubs, whoever you support, whoever you are local to. There could be some news on them if they're high up in the leagues or if they're listed on the list that the FA gave us last week. Keep an eye on that one. Now, another bit of disappointing news is Anthony Smith's departure from Concord Rangers after 21 years as chairman. He's been at the club for a good amount of his career. He took up the role as chairman a little while ago, and he's been so good for that club. He's kept them in afloat. He's made so much money for them. There's a good amount of cash left behind now for them to work with. And now, having seen Concord at Wembley, having achieved a wonderful day out and played such a good performance against Harrogate, so unfortunate they lost that game, albeit by a slender margin that they did. They're still in the National League South. There's still potential for them to, you know, move up to the Premier Division. They've got a very good squad. But this is obviously heartbreaking for the club. They will find it very difficult to find someone who can, you know, step in his shoes and provide the solidity and guarantees that he has. So, very sad news there, Tom. And I think Concord Rangers won't be the same place without him.
Yeah, he's done an incredible job there. And you can see, you know, by the fans' reactions, how sad they are that he's gone. I think a lot of them will feel really shocked and saddened. But also, I think a lot of them will get the reasons why he'd left. Obviously, you know, I don't think Anthony Smith's been very happy with the decision-making at, all levels of the game. And he described it as being an embarrassment over the past months. And, you know, he feels all he's done over the last year is battled for the good non-league football. And I certainly agree with him. And for 21 years, what an outstanding achievement. As you said, Ahmed, he leads him in a very good place. It's a very healthy cash reserve and no debt there as well. He's also overseeing around 750 grand in ground improvements to facilitate their position in National League. So that's brilliant as well. And yeah, there's been so many amazing memories. You know, just have to go back to the other week in the trophy final, and you know where he's taken that club now and where the position he's left them in. I really feel that's a club that is in such a good position to move forward. And he did say he'll continue to support the club financially, and as always on the terraces. And it just shows, you know, how much he cares about the club. And it's a real good community club with so many wonderful people there. So yeah, if I was a Concord fan, I'll be gutted to see this. But also completely understand the reasons. And yeah, just for myself, I admire the job he's done there. He's put them in a great position. It's disappointing to see Anthony Smith step down, but he feels like it's the right time. So, of course, you know, have to respect his decision.
I agree, and I love the part of his outgoing letter here, where he says he's experienced many proud moments with so many fantastic people. The proudest still being what I was told the impossible promotion from the Essex Senior League, which is quite a competitive league. Essex clubs over there, I think that's one of the highest standards of non-league football in this country. And I'm sure in the north there must be so much better. There's like a few I heard of up there that is equally as competitive, if not better for quality, than the ESL, the correct ESL, by the way. We don't know about the other one that's been touted about for the last few weeks. But this particular ESL, the real one, the Essex Senior League, top quality football, for them to get out of that and make it into the National League was incredible. And another one he says is, the biggest win I achieved was defeating the health and safety executive and Castle Point Council. I think this was about the ground and the safety of it for a little while ago, when he received compensation for like stuff. I think it was compensation he received for the club on grounds of, you know, an improper inspection for a few years back. Something like that. I'm not sure. But it was incredible for him to have and achieve that against your local council. That's incredible, and props to him for that one. But another thing that I like to highlight is that even though he's not going to be involved heavily as he used to be, he's still financially going to help the club. He's still going to be able to support this team from the terraces. So one way or another, while he's not going to be hands-on at the club no more, he's definitely going to be a fan and a very big investor for them. So, you know, props where it's due. I think he's one of the, you know, kinder and more humble people involved in non-league football. So credit where it's due. He deserves all the congratulations for his efforts that he gets. And to go on for two decades as a chairman of a club that you'd once think were, you know, playing on a small club near an island in Essex, it's quite remarkable how well he's done. So props to him and congratulations on a terrific career. So, and all the best for what happens for him in the future and to Concord Rangers, because we don't know what the next big step for them is going to be, but they are still in the National League South. They will start next season in that division. We'll have to wait and see. Something else that came up this week, which has just gone completely over my head, but I've just remembered it. I caught this up in the non-league paper the other day. Ebbsfleet were trying their little devil hardest to get back into the National League after obviously last season's points per game shambles, which obviously relegated them by the smallest of margins. Be it very precisely here, 0.001 point was the difference between them going up and going staying up or going down. If I just look at the table from last season, if I don't think I can see it actually, because the app I use doesn't show it. But the table last season, who was it that was on the brink of relegation with them? Somebody was close by, but they were just relegated with Wild and Chorley in the end in the 2019-20 season. This week, they tried to go to the Alliance Council, the FA Alliance Council, to try and you know, appeal their status as a National League South club by asking for promotion back to the National League on the virtue of the relegation and various other situations. This was obviously denied because they felt the integrity of the league this season has already been diminished by two clubs not being able to finish the season this year, that being Macclesfield, who didn't even start the division as they were folding, and you have the Dover scenario where they had to cease football operations and would eventually then have their results expunged, fined for their results expunged, points deduction for next season, and fined for not filling games. We still have no idea what their fate is, whether they're going to be in the National League next season or not. But according to the Alliance, next season the league will be retaining as it, the leagues will retain as they are, with the National League Premier Division being 23, 22 in the National League North, and 21 in the National League South. We hope to see that they are able to maintain a strong push. They're heavily backed over there, obviously, by good finances. Dennis Kutrieb, the German manager, who I'm sure would have liked to finish the season, but pandemic was a big problem and will look to strengthen them. They did beat Aldershot Town in a friendly on Saturday by 3-1, which I find that they are still just too good for National League South, even with the caliber of teams involved in that particular division. You know, St Albans, your Dartfords, and to name a few, there's definitely good strength and depth in the whole league. And this season looks very good, so keep an eye on that one. Some other interesting news that's come up today. Craig Wanderers have announced the appointment of Andrew Drury as assistant player manager for the next season. Now, he'll be playing as well as joining the new first team manager over there, Danny Kedwell, in a dual role as a player and an assistant coach, which is a big coup for Cray because they're so, you know, they've had a good season. They got far in the FA Trophy this year and they have a couple of decent players to call upon there, Tom.
Yeah, I think it was an appointment that certainly caught my eye today. And it's always great, isn't it, to have players with that sort of experience, you know, coming down, you know, to the non-league regions. And I think it's great to see, isn't it? You know, you see a lot of players who played at a real high level maybe thinking, can I get a football league job? But I think there's no better place to start than, you know, cutting your teeth as a non-league manager. And I think, you know, Andy Drury will, you know, will be really good in that role. And I think for Cray, you know, it's exciting time. So, I think Cray are certainly going to be a team to watch out for next season. I think it's going to be an exciting league, certainly. And, you know, with the experience of someone like, you know, Danny Kedwell as well, someone who's played at a good level, I think they're really going to be very beneficial for the players, passing on their advice. And yeah, it's, you know, they've got non-league experience as well, as well as football league experience. So I think it's great to see. And for me, I could see Cray going in a very good direction. I think it's a forward, you know, a real progressive appointment. Best of luck to them. And I'll certainly looking forward to seeing what Cray will do next season.
Yeah, Tom, it will be interesting to see how they do in the Isthmian next season. It's a very competitive league and there are definitely sides that will want to look at that news in particular and think, well, those are two serious names they're bringing in, not just on the pitch, but also off it. And I think with Drury, I think he's looking to go one step further in his development as a coach. Same can be said with Danny Kickwell, both accomplished players in league football and at non-league level in the last few years as well. So I think it's worth keeping an eye on how they do next season. And we hope that they give Cray Wanderers fans some more good fortunes to look forward to in the next 12 months or so. I'm sure their lofty ambition is to get into National League South, and they will be aiming high, I'm sure, to get in there, because the monopoly like this, a big monopoly of clubs in there, you really want to be in that battle to get into the second step of non-league football. But that's not to say the Isthmian League is no bad league. It's a top division to watch. If you're a serious fan of any of the clubs in there, I wish you all the best this summer in your preparations for next season, because this next year is bound to be interesting. So, that being said, the last thing I wanted us to just cover before we signed off was the Ron Martin comments from last week. Now, we told you last week, Southend and Grimsby were both relegated from the National League, and we discussed to the National League. We were discussing this a little extensively about both clubs' prospects and the, you know, the troubles and challenges they've had recently. Since then, obviously, Grimsby have announced they have new owners of the club, which is a big step for them in the right direction, hopefully, and we wish them all the best of luck next season. But more or less, Southend fans haven't taken too warmly to the idea that they'll be joining clubs in National League next season. So much so that Rob Martin said some ludicrous comments in the BBC this week along the lines of, you know, we're not very much a team that are supposed to be in the National League. We should really be. We've been in the Football League for 100 years. We're still, in my eyes, a professional club. We would more, we'd be more inclined to retain our stay here in the Football League rather than going on to the National League, to the extent where he also added that they shouldn't be relegated in any case. Them and Grimsby were trying to make it sound like they were lodging an appeal to the EFL about their relegations, saying that because there's no relegation from the National League this season, there is really no integrity in us going down. But what's the point? There's no need to talk. There's no need to mask over your own failures over the last couple of years. In Southend in particular, in going down from League One to League Two, it doesn't get much easier for yourselves. So, really, they've only got themselves to blame for playing poorly, not having a cohesive unit at the club, and it's spiraled out of control in terms of their league form. So, them and Grimsby, not so much because they've had financial problems, and that's understandable. Because they've been fraught with a dodgy owner and they've happily ousted him finally, they can start focusing on obviously getting back into the National League 5 years after getting out of it in the promotion final. So it's a big ask, Tom, but still, this appeal will be quashed in the water, I think. It won't get any further than a simple response saying, no, you're relegated. Take your medicine and join the National League, because that is a good league to be in. It's heavily competitive. You're not going to get as much awareness as you would in the Football League, but that's the idea of promotion relegation. Clubs who are doing well get the awareness they deserve. Those that go down, sure, you get the awareness of getting relegated, but just because you're joining a league that is in standard as good as I would think as the Championship in terms of quality of football at crucial times in the season, you're disregarding it like that. I mean, you've got to take your medicine, no?
You know, my message would be, have a look at yourselves in the mirror, realise, you know, what the reasons, where you are now. And I'd say it's because of the way, you know, you've ran the club and you're trying to mask your own failures by coming up with this, stupid appeal to not have relegation. You know, I don't know if this is a crazy idea, Armour, but the best way to avoid being relegated from the EFL is not to come in the bottom two. Maybe, you know, run your clubs properly. Why they're looking for loopholes, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I would say, you know, what would their response be? The National League relegated Dover, so that they and the National League South each had, you know, an even number of clubs. And I think, you know, you even look at the fans of the clubs, they're embarrassed that they're doing this. You know, that the fans realise that they deserve to be where they be, where they are at the moment because of these, you know, very, very poor owners who are, you know, not run these clubs very well at all, let's be honest. And I think it's disgusting and embarrassing that they've tried to do this. And there's not a chance this is going to be successful. And you can clearly see more why the Southend fans don't like Ron Martin, that's for sure.
There's a lot of impopularity with him over there, so I wouldn't be surprised if they start crying foul and asking him to get a move on sooner rather than later, because the sheer madness that is involved with those clubs right now, with Grimsby and Southend, is incredible. And yeah, as you said, they should take a look at themselves in the mirror and sort this out quickly, because you really can't be saying things like that. We just had the Super League nonsense, which threatened the status of English football and the grass from grassroots to the lower divisions of English, or even League One, League Two, would have been affected by the madness going on up at Paris's head. But even still, you should take, like I said, take your medicine and just get on with it, rather than sitting there and waffling constantly, saying we don't deserve it, we don't deserve it, and waiting and crying like babies. You're coming down to a very good league with clubs that you've played before in the football league as well. You've played these clubs before in the football league. This time it's just adding a little bit more. It won't be as, for you, it'll be like saying, well, this won't be as serious as it looks because it's not an EFL game anymore. So be it. It's going to be a top quality match anyway. Plus, think about how important it is to win the National League. You can see what it means for the clubs that are currently challenging for it. We're going to cover that very shortly. But it means so much winning that league, because once you get back into the Football League, or go into the Football League for the first time, in some teams' cases, such as Barrow and Harrogate, you're going to find that it will be enthralling at first, and then you get on with the business at hand. The challenge of not only staying in the division, but try and sustain yourselves in the division. So it won't be as simple, but you will need to be very, very, very good to get out of the National League, because there's only one room for one to be champions. The rest of you have to scrap through after the season's done. Who knows? So we've still got this season yet to do. So let's get right into it. What a fantastic week of football there was. So last week I told you I was going to record from Notts County, but with what happened at Meadow Lane being so dramatic, I forgot to record the last bit. So very briefly, Notts County beat Sutton 3-2. A fantastic game. Ruben Rodriguez scored twice, the last of which was a penalty in the 92nd minute, given away by Craig Eastman for fouling Mark Ellis in the penalty area, which stunned everyone. I was at Meadow Lane as well. As I said, it was just excruciating excitement for some, and despairing pain for Sutton, because they thought they nearly did it. They just about made it. But that point wasn't enough in the end. They lost the three they needed and dropped even further behind in the promotion race. And there and then, Matt Gray admitted that afternoon it was out of their hands. They responded immediately on Saturday, beating Weymouth. And then last night, we recorded this on the Wednesday, last night against Woking, they came back and won 3-2 against the odds, and they're back on top of the National League. This was helped by a miss by Kim, I think it was Kim Pioca for Torquay against Bromley. Had he scored that goal, Torquay and I would have retained their spot as the National League leaders, meaning Sutton would still have to chase them to be able to regain pole position. But they dropped points against Bromley on Saturday. And credit where credit's due, Andy Woodman's side pulled off a stunning performance, holding out for a long time, nearly winning the game themselves. But what a week does in football, from going to the absolute despair of nearly missing out on the top spot to taking it back to a series of events. It's been incredible. And excuse me, I can't tell you how exciting the National League is. Right now, we have sat on top of the league, ahead of Torquay by just 1 point, having now played the same amount of games as everybody else in the top four. They have no more games in hand. They've had many, many games this season. As Matt Gray said on Saturday after the Weymouth game, we've had to play after everybody else most times this season. And now we have the opportunity to take the game against Weymouth, and he spoke of the future in Tuesday's cases, against Woking, the incredible success of winning that game. So we've managed, thankfully, to get an excerpt of what he said in the interview to the press officer at Sutton on Tuesday night. Here's what he said about the victory against Woking, and you can sense the relief in his voice as well.
It was a very bitty first half, and you know, couldn't get any real flow to it. We obviously got off to a great start, a bit of a moment of madness there, giving them the penalty and making it back to all square. But I was really pleased with our reaction at half-time and coming out for the second half, and felt reasonably comfortable until obviously he bends it into the far corner and makes it a bit of a hairy last few minutes.
So you've heard what Matt said. Now, this was Gary Johnson's reaction on Saturday on BT Sport to their draw with Bromley. And he did, though he sounded very downcast, he still thinks they can reach the summit this season.
Yes, we have to. You have to tell them where we might have done a little bit better. It took us a long time to sort of get any sort of real part of our game going. But then, as I said, that it's hard to get the flow if, you know, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of time wasting every time the ball goes out, that sort of stuff. But and I'm not being disrespectful to Bromley there at all, because they had their game plan and they achieved it. So yeah, there we are. But we'll look forward to going to Stockport, because if you're going to win the league, you've got to beat the best teams.
That's the big one we've wanted to hear. Gary Johnson sort of hoping that Sutton do slip up again, but his side don't have it easy. With the way the season's gone, and Stockport also were in the race but dropped points last night against Dagenham Rebels, drawing 1-1, it's changed everything in their promotion race. The gap now between Sutton and Stockport is 6 points. We've already digressed that Torquay are a point behind Sutton. Hartlepool are now out of it, really. The defeat to Maidenhead was a defeat too many. That's back-to-back as well. So with the running they're having now, they're going to need a lot of luck to be able to regain the promotion race. They need to win all three games and hope that all three teams above them do not win any of them. So that's a tall order, and I'd consider them to be out of this race. In the playoffs, Notts County have been on formidable form. That victory against Sutton was practically their season. Having picked up the points, Ian Bertram's side have now not stopped winning, beating Barnet on Saturday by 4-1, and then doing a similar job to Maidenhead last night by 4-0, which is sort of damaging Maidenhead's outside chance of sneaking into the top seven. Chesterfield have also enjoyed a bit of fun recently. After their poor run of defeats against the two sides above in the promotion hunt, they responded on Saturday with a 4-1 win against Woking. And that result followed up with a similar scoreline to Kingsland against Kingsland last night, which means they're back in the top seven once again. There's a lot of, you know, excitement that James Rowe is creating over there. But the fans were, for a little worried after meeting the two promotion contenders and dropping points. They thought they were under the cosh a little bit. In the end, they survived. They've got the couple wins they need. Strong finish to the season needed for them, though. Next up is Wiltshire. We should really get goals against Wiltshire. They've become the league's whipping boys in the last few weeks. A tough game against Dagenham and Redbridge before the big clash on the final day of the season against Chesterfield. We should also stress that Bromley, who picked up that point against Torquay on Saturday, have a double header against Notts County in their final games of the season. They will be playing Notts County on the 15th of May and on the final day of the season at Hayes Lane. So with the playoff race sort of coming to a head, we have four sides within the hunt still playing each other and two of them back-to-back. So it's going to be an interesting watch, the two battles between Notts County and Bromley. Wrexham dropping out of the race just for a little bit because they haven't played. They didn't play this Tuesday night after winning against Yeovil last Saturday, but it's the ball still in their court. There are four games left. Then one of them is against Notts County, which if they are to have the match in front of fans, it will be a huge game. And as we said at the start of the show, there's so much at stake in this season coming to a head. Their DQ side will desperately look to push this team all the way to the line. They'll be at Dagenham on the final day of the season, but they have a chance to rack up a few more goals against Kingsland if they are able to keep their form going. Their next game is against Boreham Wood. Eastleigh are now looking quite a bit far away. Once upon a time, they were in the hunt, but they have an opportunity to close that gap again. They have two games in hand with four games remaining. Their match against Altrincham on Saturday was postponed due to poor pitch conditions at Altrincham. That game is to be rescheduled, but once that has been rescheduled, it will fall in with Barnet, Aldershot, Boreham Wood, and then a final day away to Solihull. That will hopefully play in Ben Strevin's favour, the fact they have an extra game to play at Altrincham in the near future. They have to do it before the end of the season, of course, so big pressure will be applied on them. It'll be one of those weird scenarios. If it is played after the season's over, clubs will still be nervous, I can guarantee that. But outside of that, it looks like it's a bit too far away for Dagenham now because of the point they dropped last night. They're on 56 points, 6 points behind with two to play for, just a step too far. Maidenhead, who have a fair few games, would have to beat Sutton on Saturday, who Sutton go to next, and win out their last four, hoping for some fortunes above them to stay in the promotion playoff hunt in the postseason. But Tom, having reviewed all the craziness of the last 24 hours and beyond, with Sutton now leading the race again after the dramatic match at Woking last night. It's back in their hands. It turns out a week in football does do wonders for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's a fair few Sutton fans must have been thinking, you know, when Craig Eastman gave away that last minute penalty, Ruben Rodriguez scored the spot kick. That may have been it for Sutton's hopes of finishing first. But as you say, Ahmed, a week in football is a long time. What a turnaround. And I think what Sutton have done really well in recent games is they've been very good at Gander Green Lane. And you look at the last two wins against Weymouth and Woking. Yes, it was a nervy end to the Woking game. But overall, I'd say, especially in the second half, they were very composed, really controlled the game well. And you look at the same on Saturday as well against Weymouth. So in those pressure situations, Sutton are staying calm. Yes, OK, you could say, well, it's against Weymouth and Woking, who are down, you know, at the bottom end of the National League. And I suppose you could make a case for that. But still, you know, Weymouth certainly what gave Sutton a go in the early stages on Saturday. And Woking, I thought, gave a very good account of themselves. And another thing as well, you look at Sutton's recent home games, they gave away an equalised old shot, came back well, scored two goals after, and they did the exact same last night. So I think what the good thing with Sutton is they're hitting back well in games. And yeah, I've got to admit, Torquay, this was the big period for them. The Bromley and Stockport games, obviously you've had half of that done now with that Bromley game, which they just didn't have enough in the second half, unfortunately, for Gary Johnson's side. Bromley held out very well. Obviously, Cousins pulling off a key save in the final few minutes. You know, that what a massive save that could be in the title race. But, you know, you look at Stockport now. On Sunday, it's going to be an interesting one. If Stockport had beaten Dagenham last night, I really would have thought Stockport were right in this. But they're sort of edging away. They have a faint chance. Now, the big thing for Stockport is they do have the better goal difference out of the top, out, you know, compared to the top two. So that could certainly be key. But yeah, it was a drop points they certainly didn't need last night. And that game on Sunday is absolutely massive. The biggest game, I'd say, so far in this National League season. It could absolutely define everything. And you know, for Stockport, they won't want to give up on their hopes of, you know, getting that first place. And also, they certainly want to secure their top three place because Hartlepool will be looking to respond sharply after with their back-to-back defeats. And, you know, I think it's a shame for Reece Oates scored that Messi-esque goal, probably goal of the season in the National League for sure. And it results in a 4-2 defeat for them, which means it was back-to-back defeats. That I think for me, that's Hartlepool's challenge over there, faltered at the crucial time. But Dave Chandler can still hold his head up high. There's still lots to play for. Obviously, as you mentioned, Ahmed, that they go to Sutton, which could be a massive game. You know, that's the game that there's going to be fans packed again in Green Lane. I'm sure they'll want to spoil the party that day because there could be a party that day if Sutton win at Maidenhead on Saturday and then, you know, Torquay lose at Stockport the next day. That means Sutton, with a victory over Hartlepool, would win the title in front of their own fans. But that feels so near yet so far because I felt there's so much more twist to come. For Torquay, they will be thinking, well, Maidenhead's a hard place to go for Sutton. Despite Maidenhead losing 4-0 last night, then there'll be a real determination from Maidenhead to respond. Alan Devonshire will not let them, you know, this season peter out for his team. They'll be right up for it. And, you know, Kerry Johnson will be open for a favour. And even if they don't get one on Saturday, you know, if Torquay can do the job, then Hartlepool, they're playing to get in that top three still. Especially, I think, you know, their motivation will go up that bit further if Stockport do lose at home to Torquay. So there's still so much drama to come for me, you know, in this National League. And you look at the playoff fight, that could go anyway. Notts County, huge credit to Ian Birchnell. He's not had a good start. He didn't have a good start at all. And then the Morris Ross situation, which was an extremely poor comment. You know, I was here, not 92. We, you know, look for old podcasts. We actually had Morris on. He was a brilliant guest, but I can't defend what he said at all. Notts County made completely the correct decision in sacking him. And yeah, I support Notts County stance on it completely. It was a completely unacceptable comment for Morris. Okay, he's taking accountability for it, but it's still doesn't make it any less worse. So yeah, and for you know, for Ian Birchnell's side, I think he's a really calm head. His philosophy's coming across now. Notts County looking great. Ruben Rodriguez in the form is live. Jim O'Brien scoring hat tricks. They scored, you know, four goals in each of their last two away games. And yeah, they're on a roll now, Notts County. And they're, you know, obviously with Bromley to play twice and Wrexham to play, certainly a tough fixture list for Notts. But I think they'll really fancy their chances now under Ian Birchall to secure that fifth place spot. And then fourth, Chesterfield and Halifax meet on the final day. And Halifax, for me, I was assured they were starting to close on that fifth spot, but that's completely changed from last week. You spoke about up in the top two in the league. It's a long week for, you know, in football, for, you know, how that's changed. And I'd say the same for Halifax now, right in the thick of this playoff fight. And Bromley for me and Wrexham both, you know, two of the form sides in the league now. And I think they'll be fancying their chances. It could go anyway. Honestly, this playoff race is insane. And Eastleigh, can they use their games in hand well? For me, that from Notts County down to Eastleigh, it's all to play for. It's going to be a stunning end. And with Chesterfield and Halifax, as I said, playing each other on the last day, that could be a dramatic final game. With James Roseside getting the wins back on board after back-to-back defeats to Hartlepool and Torquay, no shame in that at all, obviously. I think Chesterfield with feeling more comfortable now about their hopes of getting into the top seven. Obviously, where Halifax are on a slightly downwards trend compared to their rivals. So, oh, it's been dramatic, Ahmed. I certainly can't wait. That Stockport Torquay game, if Sutton can collect 3 points at Maidenhead, that will be Sutton's biggest 3 points of the season. It's obviously every 3 points you get now is going to feel the biggest 3 points of the season. But I think that one, for what's at stake the next day, putting the pressure right on Torquay, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a huge tester of the mettle of Gary Johnson's men, whether they're still up to the task of winning the National League. So I can't wait for more drama to unfold. I wouldn't be surprised if the table changes. You know, Hartlepool could move back to the top three and then the top two could switch spots, and probably that might even happen more than once. And could Stockport get themselves back in the title race? There's still so much more questions to go in this season. Obviously, with fans come back as well, that's going to add another factor. So, Ahmed, I can't wait. It's been another great week of National League football, and yeah, I can't wait for what twists and turns are going to come in these last few games coming up.
I like you, Tom, I'm equally as excited because we don't know what to expect. It is the sheer incredulity of this season is playing out in front of our very eyes, and we have no idea how it's going to end. It'll be incredible to see how it finishes. But as I said, this weekend, a whole plethora of games. We spoke about the Notts County Bromley saga. The first of that is going to be this weekend. Worth a watch, in my opinion, if you're neutral even, because that game has so much riding on the playoff race, as well as the run for the final for Bromley's hopes of getting into the top seven. They didn't get the playoffs last year on points per game, so let's just see what happens. We also have, obviously, Wrexham away to Boreham Wood, Chesterfield home to Wealdstone, Halifax away to Dagenham, Eastleigh hosting Barnet. You obviously have the big one in the terms of the top of the National League, Sutton away to Maidenhead. They have a shocking record at York Road. They have not won there, I think, in historically. They've not won there at all. Let's just looking at it really quickly. Maidenhead have won eight of the 12. Maidenhead have won eight of them. So that's a large chunk of the matches. So Sutton have a horrible record. Sutton actually beat them for only the second time in those 12 this season on the opening weekend of the competition. But when they won 3-0, it's when their form started. The only other occasion was in 2013 when they won 3-2 at home in the National League South. On that day, two goals from Slab and Craig Dundas as well. Dundas scored the winner in the 51st minute. It was that long in the game. So it was a crazy football match. But that was when we had Sutton still building up to be the side that they currently are, on the verge of doing the absolutely incredible. But since then, if we just look at away games, Sutton went on back-to-back defeats in the National League South in 2014, drew in 2015, drew in 20, again in 2015 the following season. Then they got promoted to the National League. So then the next time, when Mehdi had followed them up, they beat them at Gander Green and they kept their record going by 2-0. Sutton lost back-to-back games at Maidenhead away from home in 2018 and in 2019. So even in 2018, that was during the time when they were once again in the playoff race or in the promotion hunt. We all thought then could they actually be promoted in 2018. They were for a little while leaders. That slip up at Maidenhead cost them the chance of being promoted ahead of Macclesfield. They lost at home in 2018. They lost in 2019 away from home. They had a humiliating 3-0 defeat at Gander Green. I think Jake Cassidy scored. Shamir Fenlon scored an absolute howitzer from many yards out. That game in particular, I think, was when Matt Gray realised it was one of his first games in charge. He realised that this job might be very, very difficult for him. So it's going to be a right old challenge. They have a very difficult time against Maidenhead. But if there's any chance they're going to end their incapability of winning at York Road, now is that time. They've got to do it sooner rather than later. So this is a massive game. The fans, I can't understand from what I've seen on Twitter and according to people I'm in contact with, there's a lot of trepidation about this particular game on the grounds that where they're going, it's almost not sacred. It's like the bogey ground. It's the bogey team they normally play. They hate playing this team just because they somehow get one up on them. But Maidenhead have been Jekyll and Hyde this season. And we gave them credit a little while ago because they were struggling for long periods of the season. I think because of the COVID pandemic, lots of injuries, players going on international breaks. I think the last time they beat on BET was against Altrincham. And that night they didn't play too badly, but still came up short. This team, however, can sometimes do the impossible. As we saw with what happened with Hartlepool on Saturday, going there and putting four past them to end their home unbeaten run. That was a team that was depending on their home form to still be in the promotion hunt. To lose them, to beat them the way they did was incredible. Then you also have the performance against Notts County last night. Notts County on a high, going there, needing to continue the playoff push. You look at that team now, it's a huge game for them. But if Sutton need to continue, and we'll not even continue, if they're going to have one hand on the trophy, I dare say this, if they're going to have one hand on the trophy, they're going to need to win that game and also hope for the fortune that will come from Edgeley Park if Stockport do get one over the Torquay United. So Sunday at 12:15 is a big watch, I have to say. Massive. And it is on BT Sport, so you can catch it up on there. Trust me, you will not be spoiled for entertainment in that particular match. Just to round off the other games, there are matches where the six sides haven't got much to play for, but they'll still look to finish the season strong. The likes of Solihull Moors play Woking. You have Weymouth against Altrincham and Yeovil Kings Lynn all meeting as well this coming Saturday at 3:00. And then, as always, that game on Sunday we just talked about. Stockport Torquay BT Sport 1, I believe, on Sunday afternoon. The stakes are huge. As I said, if Sutton do win against Maidenhead, Stockport get the victory against Torquay, one hand is on the trophy. Sutton can win the league the next time out against Hartlepool United at Gander Green Lane in front of their adoring fans who waited so long to see a moment of this calibre to confirm their status as a League Two club. That would be remarkable. But the story still has minutes hours still to play, 270 to be precise. So let's see what happens. Now we have to preview another very important fixtures taking place this weekend. This coming Saturday is the semi-finals of the FA Vars, and Hebburn Town, who won the FA Vars for 2020, were knocked out by Warrington Rylands on Saturday by a 0-0, and that's what is stunning. It's done a few that were thinking that, well, could they get back to Wembley in the space of a month, because winning that game was just incredible for them. And that game against Consett was one of the finals I've seen in National League in non-league football. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So the results from last Saturday's Vars were as follows, or the results from previous of as follows. Warriors Rise beating Hebburn by a goal to nil, obviously knocking out Hebburn in the process. United Services Portsmouth lost to Binfield, who went through to the semi-final. The matches that will take place now, there's the semi-final between Walsall Wood and Warrington Rylands to take place. The winners of that will meet Binfield in the final, because their match against United Services Portsmouth was a semi-final where it was 1-1 after 90 minutes. United Services Portsmouth went a long way in that game, as I remember, pushing on, got back in it in the second half. It went all the way to penalties. It was such an enthralling highlights to watch, and it is on YouTube if you want to see it. Hebburn, though, beaten. Hebburn would have been hoping to get through this competition. It's horrible luck for them, but Warrington Rylands are a club. I think they play a match. It's just a few yards, miles away from where the rugby league team play, which is the biggest ground in the town. It's a rugby league town, but if they do get to the final, there'll be a lot of support for them over at Wembley, that's for sure. The winners of that will meet Binfield on the 22nd of May, at 12:15 on the same day of the trophy final between Hereford and Hornchurch. We are going to try and contact Hornchurch this week to get their manager or anyone we can on the show, because we want to quickly get an idea of what their hope, what their excitement is for this final, because this is huge for Hornchurch. It's the furthest they've been in any FA competition for a long time, and for sure it will draw a few of their faithful over to Wembley for that final on the 22nd of May. Could be the biggest achievement in their club's history, so worth the wait. But very quickly, Tom, Hebburn Town winning the Travars last week, getting knocked out this week, how much more does Nottingham Football want to offer us? It's turning into a crazy finish to the year, even in the cup competitions.
Yeah, they would have been a lot of people's picks, that's for sure. It would have been a fairy tale for them to win, the FA Vars twice in 1 month. But I think they'll gladly take that wonderful afternoon that they had. But what a win for Binfield, by the way, on penalties. So dramatic, historic semi-final win for them. And huge credit goes to Jack Broom. had some bottle to take that pen. But to be honest, he said that he wasn't actually that nervous. He had the most nervous part for him was when he put the ball in the penalty spot and then walked backwards. Took the biggest, deepest breath he'd ever taken just to calm his nerves and slotted the pen away. Also, huge credit goes to Chris Grace, who saved the fifth penalty from US Portsmouth. So, it was a dramatic end to what was a great semi-final. And, now for Binfield, the excitement is going to be huge. And, Warrington Rylands will take a lot of confidence, though. Beating Hebburn, I think they'll fancy themselves to play Binfield in the final. So, I'm out for another great FA Vars final, and I wish both teams the best of luck. Warrington Rylands and Walsall Wood in this Saturday's semi-final. What another great day of Nottingham finals we've got coming up on the 22nd. Congratulations to Binfield. To win on penalties in the most dramatic fashion. And, it was Binfield's chairman and secretary were hiding in the change room. It got a bit too much for them in the end. But it just shows what it means that, grown men just can't even watch. So, it just shows what was on the line for Binfield. And, the relief for them to get through a penalty shootout and to have that day out in Wembley. And I think they're just going to go out there and enjoy it to the fullest. And why not? Because it's what a cracking opportunity for them to go and, win a major competition for them like the FA Vars.
Incredible, of course. And such an exciting moment for Binfield as well. And to be honest with you, when I heard that they got past the last 16, along with a few of the other clubs, such as Hebburn, who were in the final for 2020, you were thinking then, Hebburn have already had the taste of victory once. Can they go and do it again? But Warrington Rylands are one of the, I think, one of the more popular clubs in outside of the top three divisions in non-league, and they're well followed up there because a rugby league town. There isn't much for them to support, I think, other than Liverpool, which is the next nearest city to Warrington. In all honesty, credit where credit's due. They've done so well, and I feel like they will get such a strong support to come and follow them down to Wembley on that day. It'll be a great afternoon for them, and all the best to them and Walsall Wood, who have done well to get to this competition's semi-final stage as well. Big opportunity for both clubs to get to the Arch of Wembley one more time this year in their careers or in their life, club's lifetime. We'll never know. But just being there is the best part of it. And more importantly, with fans there too, it's a shame that there wasn't any for the 2020 finals, because it would have meant a lot more to Constantine Hepburn as well as Concord if their fans were there to support them. Harrogate are harsh on them as well. Two times they've been to Wembley, neither occasion they've been able to have fans at the ground to celebrate with them. So it's harsh that on both successes, they've not been able to support it with their team, have it celebrate with their team. But, you know, I digress. I hope that we have two great finals. I will profile in closer detail the FA Trophy final and the VARS final a bit more next week. We'll do a bit more research on each of the teams that get there and a bit more in that podcast when we have the chance to record again. Keep an eye out for that one. So, having covered the absolute madness of on the pitch this week, now we've got to give a star of the week. And me and Tom on Saturday, having looked at the results even before the league games, decided to give it to this player because of such a wonderful performance against Hartlepool. We could have given it to Reece Hurst for that fantastic goal, but unfortunately, it did harshly come on the wrong side of a 4-2 defeat. It was the performance of Sam Barrett that caught us out, and he's our star of the week this week.
Yeah, congratulations to Stam. It takes a lot to outshine Reece Oates' Messi-esque goal. But yeah, Sam Barrett, what a season he's had along with Danilo Orsi. Real firepower for Maynard United. And yeah, wonderful hat-trick he scored. What was a great day for Maynard. And, you know, if he's fit for Saturday against Sutton, he'll be looking to recreate that to give Torquay a favour, that's sure, and put a big twist in the title race. But yeah, congratulations, Sam Barrett, and what a great season he's having. So certainly a worthy winner of the award. Reece Oates was close. That was an individual piece of brilliance. But for Sam Barrett's consistency throughout the game to score hat-trick, yeah, brilliant. Also, a little shout-out as well to Ruben Rodriguez on the form of his life at the moment, Notts County. You know, it's just, he's running that midfield, you know, from Birchall's side, and also in credit team Birchall as well. As I said, he's been through the wars and received quite a bit of criticism for, you know, poor results and having his assistant sacked for, you know, a very, very poor choice of words, putting that lightly. So he would have felt very let down from that, but he's handled that with grace and, you know, real professionalism, just got on with his job, and he's got Notts County play some great stuff. So there's some shout outs as well, but the final award, yeah, as Ahmed said, going to Sam Barrett. Congratulations on your hat-trick at Hartlepool.
Yeah, I agree. I also would like to join Tom in the praise of Ruben Rodriguez. He's been in great form. I mean, Jim O'Brien, how he's been overlooked. I forgot about his hat-trick as well for Notts County against Maidenhead last night. That went over my head, but yeah, great performances from him and Rodriguez in the last week, which have salvaged his playoff hopes. But Jim O'Brien scored a hat-trick. It's gone. I was stunned when I found out he did it. So, well done to him. Another shout-out is Donovan Wilson. What a boy. The boy is amazing. He's pulled some great goals out of his left foot in the last couple of days. So, to score two near similar, not exactly the same kind of goal, but from the near same edge of the area, finding the back of the net, two separate edges in a row, is quite cool, and it's one of the big reasons Sutton United are still top of the National League. So he gets a shout out too. But yeah, as we said, Sam Barrett's hat trick downing Hartlepool, despite resources brilliance, is what will give the star of the week for this week. So well done to Sam Barrett and to Maidenhead for that performance on Saturday, despite it being overshadowed by what happened yesterday. We're not taking it away from them. They did do very well with 10 men over at Victoria Park. Not many teams can do that. So, Tom, as always, we're signing off, but as always, it's been a great pleasure to cover the National League and non-league football world with you. Bring on Saturday, I say.
Yep, we're ready for some more drama. Can Sutton put the pressure on Torquay? What's going to happen in the playoff picture? That could easily change within the blink of an eye. So, all to play for this weekend. Another huge weekend in the National League as it is slowly come to an end now. We are on the proper business end of the season, the final month. So, these teams have got to give everything if they want to achieve their aims.
Incredible. Thank you, as always, Tom. And he is, as always, a fantastic contributor for our shows on the Not Night to You pod. As always, we're going to try and contact Hornchurch and Hereford if we can for some comments or some audio clips from their side so we can get a preview sorted for next week's FA Trophy final. Also do the same for when we do find out who will be in the FA Vars final for the 22nd of May. So we'll have a preview for that show, including what happened in National League and all the other news from non-league world next week. Big push one more time. I urge you to watch Stockport Torquay on Sunday because of how important that game is to the National League season. If you really want drama and, you know, intense nerves personified, that is the game you want to watch. It's a shame that game is not being allowed. Even though May 17th is when the restrictions ease, I wish they just pushed it back one day just so the Stockport fans could push their team over the line. It would have been lovely for them. But unfortunately, that's not the case. It'll be the last National League game behind closed doors. So even still, with that raw emotion and the raw feeling of players on the pitch giving their all, with the promotion chase on the line, that's a game I urge anyone to get involved in. So BG Sports Sunday, 12:15. Go and have a look. Enjoy it. It'll be a great game, I promise you. But for us, that's it. We'll be back next week for, as always, more of that wonderful non-league drip you want us to provide you on a daily basis. Well, however you listen to us from wherever around the world you are, we thank you for joining us this week. Again, if you want to catch up with all of our 92 extras from weeks gone by, you can look at our show reel, which is on your respective listening platform, so was Acast, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of them, and you'll be able to listen back to all the great interviewees we've had on the show. And as always, as I said, we're going to push to bring more of them on during the summer, in particular during the Euros. So we're not going to be stopping any extras when the big business in European football gets going. We're still going to try and get more people on to get more views on their season and the prospects of non-league football lurking ahead. And as always, if you want to keep in contact with us, NT92pod, that's on Twitter, NT_92pod on Instagram, and then podcast@notthe92.com is the email if you want to give us any queries or any extra bits and bobs regarding the show in the future. But from me and Tom, thanks again everyone for joining us today. If you don't know, now you know. Until the next one, everyone, thanks and goodbye.